We're doing Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Raptu Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top, the first word on the line, Tafresh Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brisa that was validated by Rav Chaim Rav Oshaya. Menayin Shem Chalina Lein Et HaShabbat. How do we know that the witnesses should come to testify that they saw the new moon on Friday night, even at the cost of Shabbos, even if it means that they'll have to be Mechalo Shabbos to come to the courts? Talmud Lomar, that's what the verse teaches me. Eile Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam B'Mo'adam. And the word B'Mo'adam indicates make sure that you set up these holidays at their set time. Don't miss the day, even at the expense of Shabbos. B'Mo'adam means I want it at the set time, even at the expense of Shabbos.
Here we have a mitzvah to say.
No. It's a tradition Chazal had that the word b'mo'adam teaches me even at the expense of Shabbos.
Okay, but if we bridge just when it means taseh, like mo'adecha, and lo taseh kol menacha.
Right, but we're not.
Right. How can if but that's a general rule, no?
There's a rule, aseh dochelot aseh, and the word b'mo'adam, the Gemara derives elsewhere, teaches me that it overrides Shabbos. It's a different limud, not aseh dochelot aseh. You're right. If it were aseh dochelot aseh, then it shouldn't work. Right.
I'm getting different ideas from the fact that you mechalo Shabbos to do this to kaddish the new moon. We also wait a day if it's more convenient for the upcoming holidays or something like that. It's so important that we mechalo Shabbos, and yet we can kind of tweak it to our advantage.
Right.
Isn't that a little contradictory?
No. Look at it the other way. On one level, it's so important, Hashem says, be Mechal Shabbos. And then our advantages are so important that they're even bigger than that.
You're right. That's great.
Right? Right. That's why we say the first mitzvah of the Torah is Kiddush HaChodesh. Because that mitzvah indicates to us the strength of the Beis Din down below. Hashem says, it's your Torah, I gave it to you. Meaning as much as we say, Hashem told us what to do, Hashem also said, yes, but I also gave things in your hands, and you have the responsibility to sanctify the times. Which intellectually is a phenomenal concept. We decide when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, yeah. We decide when the holiest day of the year is. The Gemara even says, we'll see it in Mitzvah coming up, that up in heaven there's going to be a whole tumult, and the courts are getting ready, and it's the big judgment day of Rosh Hashanah, and all the angels are getting ready, and they're filing their taxes last minute, and everyone's coming in with their paperwork ready to testify about so-and-so and the other one, and the whole scene is set up in heaven for the courts to convene, and suddenly Hashem says, halt! The courts below decided Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow. Ah, but the new moon! Yeah, but they decided, guys, tomorrow's judgment day. So the courts up above, they go based on what we decide down below, yeah.
But to a point, right, they can't sanctify too late.
Right, they can't reinvent the wheel, the cycle, the moon, right.
So what happened if, Chas v'Shalom, you have a wicked Beit Din and they refuse to have Rosh Hashanah? Something like
good question, but not for now. Back to our Gemara. But this Thursday night, Bezat Shem, is our last Thursday night of the season, so you can bring it up. But if you want an answer sooner, then you could go to the Kuzari. Mamar Gimel, maybe Ot Mem Beis, something like that.
Gimel and Mem Beis?
Ot Mem Beis, where he discusses the high courts. But if you want, just bring it up this Thursday.
Okay.
So again, the Braisa said that we're Mechalel Shabbos in order to have the witnesses come in and testify on time. And that is derived from the Pasuk, Asher Tikru Otam B'Mo'adam. Now, technically the Pasuk isn't talking about Rosh Chodesh. The Pasuk is talking about the Mo'adin, the holidays. We say, well, the holidays are date-oriented, so you need to have the date accurate. You need to have Rosh Chodesh and at its set time. But yachol, you might say, kishem shemchalin ad sheyitkadshu, just like the witnesses would desecrate the Shabbos to ensure that the month is sanctified at the correct date. Kach mechalin ad sheyitkaymu, so then, for the same logic, from the same pasuk, we should send out the shlichim from the Bezdin, send out the messengers, even at the expense of Shabbos, to ensure that all the Jews all over keep the holiday on the right day, because that's what it says. Elim mo'adei Hashem asher tikutam b'mo'adam, keep the holidays on the right time. So if that teaches me to desecrate Shabbos for sanctifying the new moon, it should certainly teach me to desecrate Shabbos in order to inform people when Rosh Chodesh fell out. Talmud lomar, that's why the pasuk tells me asher tikru'u otam, that you will declare them al kiyatam atam chalel viyatam chalel al kiyuman. You only desecrate Shabbos for the declaration, but not for the actual fulfillment of the Yom Tov. And the declaration is the declaration of Rosh Chodesh, because Beis Din doesn't have to declare this day is Pesach. They don't declare this day is Sukkot. They declare this day is Rosh Chodesh. That's contingent on the Beis Din, as we will see later. The Beis Din says Mekudosh, and they reply Mekudosh. They have a declaration, which is part of the answer to your question, which is part of how we are Mekadesh the Chodesh today. When we say Yale V'Yavo here in Eretz Yisrael, we're making a declaration, B'Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh. That's part of what gives, and maybe all of what gives, sanctity to the Rosh Chodesh today. You don't have a court declaring it. Yes?
So, it's not true that in Torah the only Yom Tov that's written about the exact time is Pesach, because it's also in Aviv. Or can we say the whole, because Pesach needs to fall in Aviv, and much more so, you know, everything after Pesach will be on its time, Shavuot, and then, okay, Shavuot is contingent on Pesach.
Well, every holiday has a date other than Shavuot, it's Pesach,
true,
and
but
Sukkot.
But it's dependent on the season of the Beit Din. The only more that Hashem says should be, as far as time, it's Pesach, it should fall on Aviv.
Okay. Fine, so, but here we're talking about the date, the calendar date.
But means that the Beit Din, they can postpone the beginning of Rosh Chodesh.
Well, so they only have 2 days that could be Rosh Chodesh.
I understand, but what does mean Memuadecha? Memuadecha according to what Beit Din decided.
Right.
Except from Pesach, because Pesach is for an Aviv, and that's a Tzivui, you know?
Not so simple, no. That's a Tzivui that in general we have to ensure that the calendar doesn't fall out of line with the seasons. But we also have leeway in that. Does it have to be a leap year this year? Maybe it could be next year. Meaning there's room for the Bezin to play with it. The Mishnah said, in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, the witnesses would come to testify in court on Shabbos, even at the cost of Chilul Shabbos, because you needed to know if to bring the Karban Musaf, if you're going to bring that sacrifice. So for the sake of that sacrifice, you also would desecrate Shabbos to come and testify that you saw the new moon. Tanu Rabbanan, B'rishmayu M'chalina Falkulan, initially the witnesses would come and desecrate Shabbos in order to testify for all the months. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, Amalein Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So after the destruction, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, V'chiyesh Koban, what are you coming for? Are we bringing a sacrifice? Hetkinu shelo yu mechalelin. So then, like the many institutions of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this was one of them, that there's no reason for the witnesses to desecrate Shabbos, Ela al-Nisan val-Tishrei bilvad. So our Mishnah was obviously compiled after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that you only desecrate Shabbos to come testify about the new moon in the month of Nisan in Tishrei. The Mishnah says, Ben shenireh ba'alil, ben shelon nireh ba'alil, mechalelin alav et ha-Shabbat. Doesn't matter if the moon was seen very clearly or not, the witnesses would desecrate Shabbos to come and let the courts know. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta says, Im nireh ba'alil, en mechalelin alav et ha-Shabbat. If everyone saw the new moon very clearly, so then you don't go desecrating Shabbos in order to testify about the new moon. Maaseh, proof to the story, it happened, Shavu yoter m'arbaim zug, that over 40 pairs of witnesses were traveling on Shabbos, and they're passing through Rabbi Akiva's town in Lod. V'ikvam Rabbi Akiva b'Lod. So Rabbi Akiva, when they hit the 41st pier, he says, don't worry, 40 people already went. For sure they had good testimony. You don't have to continue desecrating Shabbos and traveling to testify by the courts. Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel sent him a message. Rabban Gamliel the Nasi said to him, Im ha'kevata et ha'rabim nimtzeta machshinan la'atid lavo. If you're going to detain them, then in the future they won't bother heading out. They'll say, ah,
if
someone else went.
Coming for the food.
Of course. Of course.
Well, no, because even if they won't feel that they wasted their trip.
In modern Hebrew, too. The Gemara asks your question. Me'e mashma dehai alil lishna demigalihu. Where do you know that the word alil means clearly, obvious? Amar Rabbi Avu, Amar Kra, Imrot Hashem Amrot Torot, Kesef Tzaruf, Ba'alil La'aretz Mezukak Shivataim. That's the verse. Okay. So Ba'alil La'aretz means it's clear to everyone that Hashem's teachings are pure, clear silver. Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar, Nun Sharei Bina Nivru Ba'olam V'chula Nitnu L'Moshe Chaser Echad. One of them taught that there were 50 gates of understanding, and all of them were given to Moshe aside from one. We're learning, it says, Mezukak Shivatayim, purified sevenfold, 7 times 7 is 49. So Hashem's teachings are the 49 levels of purification. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught the 49 gates of understanding. There are 50, but he never got it. Shneimar, as the verse says, V'tchasreu mat me'elokim. You kept him only slightly down from the gods, from the angels. Not gods, we have one god. But man's capacity is to be slightly less than an angel.
Can I say that these 49 gates of Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to 49 degrees of Tama?
Maybe.
Does anyone know what's behind the 50th?
I definitely don't.
You don't? You don't know? that was going to be my next question.
If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, so then I don't know if it's possible for us to know.
Because if someone did know, it would count as Torah and Moshe would have known it.
Look at that. Bikesh Kohelet limtzo divrei chefetz. Bikesh Kohelet liyot kemoshe. When it says Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech desired to find the things that are of quest. Chefetz literally means something you desire. That's why Rashi says we call objects chafetzim, because chafetzim means things that people desire, from the word chafetz. So Kohelet seeked out words of desire, meaning he seeked out to be like Moshe. Yatzetabat kol v'amralo uchtov yosher divrei emet. A heavenly voice came out and said, it already says in the words of truth, v'lokam naviot b'Yisrael kemoshe. V'chad amar, b'nevi'im lokam, b'mlachim kam. So, wait, one opinion could say, yeah, there's never been a prophet like Moshe, but a king like Moshe could arise. Elamanim kayem bekesh kohelet limtzo divrei chefetz, bekesh kohelet ladun dinin shebalev shelo beidim. Kohelet wanted to rule based on his understanding. He was so smart, he felt he could rule without witnesses. He'd just hear the two sides and be able to rule who was right. V'shelo b'atra'ah, and without warning, yatztabat kol v'amalo v'chatuv yosho divrei emet al pishnai medim. What I say is the truth, God says. You don't need to be smarter than me. I told you two witnesses, that's what I mean. Two witnesses. So, Kohelet either desired to overtake, to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and according to that understanding, Hashem told him, look at my Torah. My Torah says no prophet's going to arise like Moshe. But there is an alternate understanding in that pasuk that says that no prophet would arise like Moshe, but a king would. So then Shlomo HaMelech could have ascended to that. So then that wouldn't be Hashem's answer to him. So then what's the pasuk talking about? That's talking about Shlomo's desire to rule based on his great wisdom. And Hashem said, no, you stick to my rules. You stick to what I said in my Torah. of two witnesses. So we have two possible understandings in that pasuk, which depend on two understandings in the pasuk. Velokam naviod mimoshe. Does that pasuk mean that no prophet would ever rise like Moshe? Or that pasuk only means no prophet, but a king could arise that would be like Moshe?
Isn't a prophet higher than a king?
Wasn't Shlomo a prophet anyway?
Okay. That's a machlokas rishonim, whether Shlomo was a prophet. According to this gemara, it certainly seems like he was, right?
No prophet is like saying...
What?
Profiting is like the highest level, isn't it? So, no prophet would ever rise, certainly nothing else would.
Well, Moshe was our first king. Vayhi Vishurun Melech is Moshe. So if the pasuk says no prophet would arise like Moshe, one understanding is no one who has prophecy will be as great as Moshe. The other understanding is no. The pasuk, it could have just said v'lokam od b'Yisrael k'moshe. Why did it say v'lokam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe? To tell me only prophets. But if you have a person who's a prophet and a king, so then there might be someone like Moshe. We say that the Mashiach would be okay. We say that in Israel there wouldn't arise anyone like Moshe, but among the non-Jews, Bilam was. There are many places where Chazal minimized this pasuk. It's not as awesome as we would think.
Here they're using it in the sense of that he wanted to be, Kohelet wanted to be what? To know the words of Torah. Right?
The Gemara says he wanted to be like Moshe. He wanted Bikesh Kohelet Limtzot Divrei Chefetz. Moshe wanted to be like Kohelet wanted to be like Moshe. He wanted to know all the Torah Moshe did. Hashem said to him, I already wrote in my Torah, no one's going to be like Moshe.
So why is it that a prophet might not be like Moshe, but a king might be like Moshe?
That you're already asking for my interpretation. I don't have a tradition on it, so then my interpretation is as good as yours. I don't know.
But the Malchut of Moshe Rabbeinu is counted is because he was a Navi. Otherwise you're not with David and Melech. Will it be?
So what I was thinking is that maybe that's exactly the insight the Gemara is giving us. That the correct king for the correct motives doing the correct thing will grow from it. You see that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi grew from being the Nasi. The Nasi is the leader. So yes, being a king is something which, when done correctly, makes a person grow. The responsibility and the position also makes a person grow.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying this.
The Gemara says that about Rabbi.
It's because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so you said the
you said that, and I was saying that there's room to view it the other way too. Saying the responsibility also makes a person grow. We've run out of time, but let's take one more minute and just get up to the next Mishnah. Maaseh shavru itom arbim zugot v'ikvan Rabbi Akiva. Tanya amar b'Yehuda, chas v'shalom sh'Rabbi Akiva ikvan. God forbid that Rabbi Akiva held them up. Ela shazfar rosha shel gader ikvan v'shalach Rabbi Gamliel v'orido migdulato. There was a man named Shazfar or Shezafar, whatever, however you pronounce that. He was the head of the border patrol, and he said, guys, enough. You guys, no more bugging the courts. There, enough people came by, and Rabbi Gamliel sent word, and they removed him from his post. It's not your job to tell witnesses not to travel on Shabbos. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shabbos.